Pure Boys Pod. Pure Boys Pod. Pure Boys Pod. Pure Boys Podcast. Pure Boys Pod. Pure Boys Pod. Pure Boys Pod. Pure Boys Podcast.
You're in. Well, what's up, Fudge Packers? Welcome to what is this show? Pure Boys Podcast,
starring your name,
Zacharoni Obama,
and
featuring,
and then my name goes there.
Yeah, and introducing.
Jonathan, toilet.
The two toilet kid. Urine.
We're in.
But more importantly, urine. this week, what's up, Fudge Packers? This week, we are talking about, we're going back, all the way back to the glory days of 2013 to watch 2013's The Investigator.
It's weird that we haven't gone into that much of future's past lately. They've all kind of been recent films, even the horse ones.
Yeah. There was one horse one from the 90s that we watched. Oh, two, I guess, with How the West Was Fun. And then there was another one, too. I don't remember what that one was called. But yeah. The one with the mule, I think. Tommy the Cool Mule, I think that
one. Storm Rider? No, that wasn't it.
Nah, that might have been it, actually. Either way, we don't like to go too far back in time. It gets scary and weird. Plus, as this movie proves, the only way to prove what happened in the past is to be there and to see it yourself. So to watch a movie doesn't accurately represent what was happening in 2013 or earlier.
Dismiss your textbooks. They tell you lies.
The government is lying to you. Your textbooks are lying to you. The only thing, seek out your own truth is what this movie is saying. Be damned
the
rest
of
it. Well, if you're a 9/11 first responder, yeah. The government lies.
huge through line through this movie.
Oh, this movie is swinging for the fences. This movie...
on everything.
Thank you very much. Hey, before we get too excited about the past and Wade Williams, we need to do the Pure Boys Prayer.
God bless our podcast. God bless all podcasts. We love you.
Perfect. You're in.
Do we want to God bless our podcast?
Yeah. Why wouldn't we?
I don't know. It seems kind of self-serving.
Yeah, but it's our prayer. All prayer is self-serving. What are you talking about? That's the whole point of prayer is, God, please give me $1 million. God, please help me win this baseball game. That's what prayer is.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan knelt down and prayed every single day for money, and then he got it.
Yeah.
Fame and money.
He did not kneel for the national anthem, though, but he did kneel in service of making money, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, it's Queen.
You know what my favorite part of this movie is? And we'll get into it later, but I really love that the teacher shows a bunch of kids the Zapruder film in depth and just really goes into, hey, let's look at the exit wound in JFK's forehead. A real man. Let's look at his brains all over the place. High school students, you love this stuff.
JFK rules. Death ruled.
Yeah. It's funny that the teacher went to Rotten.com to look up this information. It's just, he was wilding out. He's, you know, he's not a teacher, he's a cop. So anyway, we'll get into all of that. But first, we got to get to everyone's favorite segment.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
All right, this happened at 10:54 a.m. Looks like the bells are back on track.
Still pretty late.
On October 7th, 2021. Mm. Yeah, but I don't know. It's a good sign.
It is a good sign, yeah. It's not so late. It's closer to when he... Maybe he slept in that day, and his guts were like, hey, Kev, we got a dump here for you.
How about now, bud? I mean, it's better than 12:30. That's crazy.
Way better, yeah. You got to go to the doctor if you're dumping at 12:30. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you really do. You seek your friends in the doctor community, Kevin, please. Mm-hmm.
And if you can take anything away from this podcast, it's good, safe, trustworthy medical advice.
Uh-huh. So this week, the tweet of the week is, our friends at Nutramedics are committed to giving 50% of their profits to fund charities, projects, and missions across 6 continents. Join us on your journey to nutrition and wellness while supporting those in need. Use code SORBO for 20% off. SORBO, period. Nutramedics, period. Calm.
Okay, what is Nutramedics? Have you looked that up?
Nah, I didn't bother to click on the link.
Like, I bet it's some brain growth garbage that, you know, like, just eat this, take this pill once a day, and you'll get limitless in your brain. Beamed right into, you can watch Bradley Cooper whenever you want. What a treat that would be.
Yeah, here's 100 pounds of chia seeds, you idiot.
Eat them up, put them in your smoothies. Hemp hearts, you ever heard of them?
Yeah, bunch of liberal soy boys, right? Probably fall for Nutramedics every day.
Absolutely. It's Nutramedics, I don't know what it is, but it sounds like an MLM. Like, it sounds like Kevin got sucked into his wife's MLM and is like, hey, Nutramedics, use promo code Kevin to buy my wife's stock. Please, she spent $10,000. Our garage is full of stock. We need to move. Please, God, help us. I'm praying to you. I'm beseeching you, God. Help me make $1 million. Help me win this baseball game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Kevin for you. Kevin, great as always. Does it say on Twitter how long they've had their Twitter account for?
No, and if there was, I wouldn't want to click on the link right this second.
Well, no, but I'd be curious to see if Kevin was tweeting back in 2013. Like, what was Kevin tweeting about, you know, 8 years ago when this movie,
I think,
The Investigator came out?
I think I went back in time, and I could only see until, like, 2017 of this guy's tweets, like, back in the day.
No, how are we supposed to cancel people for their past tweets if we can't go all the way back into the past to get those tweets?
Well, I think it's in the Library of Congress.
Well, it should be. It damn well should be, I'll tell you that much. We want to cancel people for things they said 10 to 15 to 30 years ago.
Not a belly itcher.
That's right. Perfect. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for your service.
Love you.
Stop,
I'm glad
touching
you
your
that.
Mic. Stop touching it.
I didn't, I swear.
You Maybe. Did. We heard it on our mic, on our headphones.
We heard it. Okay. But I am glad you liked that tweet. I was going against the grain, but I wanted to be a little, you know, a little stinky.
Yeah, I get it. If we ever get a proper sponsor, then we should, our promo code should be SORBO. We should just steal that from Kevin and just SORBO becomes our promo code. If you need to buy a Casper mattress, use promo code SORBO for
SORBO
69%.
SORBO, SORBO, SORBO.
Say that 10 times fast. You're gonna end
I love
up,
it. I really love it.
You start saying Sorbo 10 times fast, you're going to end up saying Soy Boy by the end of that. I'll tell you that much.
Liberals.
You put Kevin in a centrifuge, and out the other end comes a Soy Boy. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Well, how do you believe in Easter if you don't believe in Christ?
Man, that's tough. I'll tell you that I don't. I don't believe in Easter, and I don't believe in Christ. But I do.
Really?
Well,
chocolates? Finding chocolates?
Oh, I believe in that. I believe in the Easter Bunny. I don't believe in a fairy tale like Jesus Christ, but I believe in the real Easter Bunny and the real
love.
Tooth Fairy. Yeah. Love.
Chocolate love.
Yeah, exactly. I believe in getting a box of chocolates filled that's shaped like a heart and it's filled with love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's filled with love.
Hey, yeah. And after you eat those chocolates, they're going to be filled with love. Yeah, 2013, The Investigator.
I think that's my new laugh.
Hit us with it again. It's healthy sounding. It sounds good.
It sounds like I had a cig.
Well, yeah, toss me a ciggy. Hey, you still got a pack of darts on you? I know you've had darts for a while. Stop touching your mic.
It was my arm of my mic.
Well, don't touch that either, apparently.
Okay.
That's it. You're going to have to just move into my studio because my microphones don't make noise when I touch them.
Yeah, but we have to move?
You have to move into my apartment, yes.
Okay.
Is that okay? You can bring your wife.
Do I get
fine.
A heat lamp in my closet?
Yeah. In your terrarium? Of course you do. You're my little lizard boy, baby.
Oh, isn't the earth a terrarium?
Hey, the world is a vampire and the earth is a terrarium.
Is that a song lyric?
Yeah, I think so. The earth is a terrarium for sure. I believe it is. Yeah.
The earth is a terrarium.
The only way that line is acceptable in a song is if it's said exactly like that. The earth is a terrarium. Boom,
boom, boom, boom, yeah. Boom, boom. You got to fall asleep while you're talking. That's what makes good music.
That's why people love Billy Corgan. He's always nodding off in the middle of songs.
Yeah. Jabroni Corgan.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Sleepy Billy Corgan is what he calls himself. I've millions.
He's cute though.
Well, yeah, I have millions of dollars, but I don't get a good night's sleep every night or any night, really.
You need more water in your eyes.
Hey, here's water in your eyes, bud.
That's gross.
Someone said, "Here's mud in your eyes" to me, like legitimately, like they meant it when they said it. Not like they meant literally, "Here's mud in your eyes," but they like they we were I don't know, they gave me a drink or something, they're like, "Here's mud in your eyes," and I was like, what a weird expression. I don't get it. What does it mean, Basil?
I feel like if he was stepping to you and you guys were having a beef over like a pinball game, that's like fun to say, but if you're serving a drink, that makes no sense.
What's your favorite pinball game?
Probably Jack.
Jack F. Ip.
The game. Yeah, Robin Williams. Jack.
Oh, sick. The Jack pinball machine. That's great.
Yeah, the ball gets bigger.
But your score stays the same, but the ball gets bigger. Yeah.
Well, and then it eventually gets stuck, just like Jack does in all of his life.
Yeah, and then it dies old.
Yeah. It poofs.
It poofs. And also Bill Cosby is there for some reason.
Is Bill Cosby in that movie?
Oh, yeah. Bill Cosby teaches Jack how to get laid in that movie.
Nah, I thought that was Robin Williams, aged.
No, it's Bill Cosby. It's Bill Cosby teaching him how to get laid. Hey, young man, let me teach you a thing or two. The girls go wild for this move.
No.
He didn't know any better. He's a kid. He's a kid. He doesn't know any better. He's got the mind of a 10-year-old and the body of sexy old Robin Williams.
Yeah, the body of Christ.
Hey, truly. Some of the kids in this movie have arms hairier than Robin Williams is. Some of these definitely teenaged boys in this movie with graying hair.
They've definitely been teenaged, for sure.
Yeah.
They got ooze on them as full adults.
All the kids are digitally de-aged in this movie. They spent millions of dollars digitally de-aging all these kids by 5 to 10 years. Worth it.
Yeah, billions. It sucked almost all of the Romano fortune.
Oh, it bankrupted Gabriel's Messenger films and Grey House films. They never made another film after this.
Never films.
No. This movie stars Wade Williams, who, after a little investigating, this guy might be our new workhorse. He stars in almost exclusively low-budget Christian movies. Nah, I'm down for following this guy's career very closely.
Like, too closely. Like, we're going to be in t-shirts with his face on it outside of his apartment building, screaming at him.
And people will go, "Is that Jose Canseco on your shirt?" And we'll go, "No, it's Wade Williams, actor extraordinaire.
Wendy Williams' cousin."
His face and head looks like it's been smushed from the front and back a little bit. His ears are almost like pointed straight out to the sides. It's incredible.
Jose Canseco.
Jose Canseco. Ever heard of him?
And thick. Oh. This man is thick.
Yeah, he's thicker than a Snicker, I'll tell you that much. You know what?
He's a beautiful man. I am down for following this man's career. It seems like he's got a lot down the pipe. 2013 to like 2018, not so great, but like he's got a lot of pipe right now.
Hey, pretty much PureFlix knocked on his door and was like, if you let us in, we will lay pipe all over your home. And he was like, please give me more.
Like, initially he didn't know what he meant by pipes, like he didn't get it, but yeah, then they explained it
and he's like, oh yeah, please lay pipe in me, David Arrowhite, please.
Yeah, in protein terms.
Yeah, give me some of that NutriBrain using hashtag promo code Sorbo.
Sorbo.
So Pure Boys gets a kickback on it.
Yeah.
This movie opens 30 years in the past, and we know it's the past because it's in black and white, even though it's 1975. Whatever, 73, I guess. No, or
that
83.
That was forever ago.
It would be 1983. It's black and white. Like, oh, it's ancient 80s.
Yeah, they should have at least put it in sepia.
Right? They should have just made it bright neon, just a feast for the eyes.
Like, just brown, like the That's 90s show that's going to happen.
It already happened. Oh, no, I guess That 80s Show was the show I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that is the one you were thinking of.
That is the one I was thinking of. This movie is also based on true events, and it turns out those events are that baseball is a game that people play. Nah, just
kidding. These are all the truest events. These are real characters that never get to play baseball because they're too large.
They're larger than life. Larger than a baseball field, I'll tell you that much. This, I don't want to reveal the big, like, the big who this is about for a little while yet. I think you let it slip earlier, and we should have talked about it off air, but it's okay. Because when I discovered
it... They won't get it.
Yeah, when I was watching it, and it clicked for me that this is what's going on, I was just like, I can't believe this is the move. Like, this is what the movie... These are who these people are? I was blown away.
I didn't look it up, and I didn't have it revealed for me until the very end, and it was so gravy.
Oh, man. It's a completely different movie once you know who everyone is supposed to be in it, and you go like,
yeah.
I can't believe that this is what we're watching.
That's why I felt like I watched this movie twice, because I watched the movie, and then that information is given to you at the end, and then you watch the whole movie again in your mind's eye as these people, and you're like, come on!
And you go, no one calls anyone a Frankenstein. What is this movie? Is this movie
come
even,
on, guys.
Is this movie even based on what it's called?
Stop making things about your life. Make things interesting. Like,
right?
Captain Marvel or something.
Yeah, quit making things about your life. Make things about your wife, all right?
Wow, that was the hit.
Wow. This movie, once we jump to present day, some jamoke is trying to convince his wife that baseball players work harder than football players. And I went, there's not a reality where that's true. You're telling me...
It's an everyday thing.
You're telling
They're
me...
playing every day.
No. Fat Big Poppy. You're telling me that guy works harder than... Terrell Owens in getting ready for
mentally,
their game.
Physically, yes.
Outrageous. Not true in the slightest. Baseball players are next to golfers in terms of laziness.
They have to sit in that dugout for hours and hours every single day. And then flying? Do you know how much effort flying takes?
Oh, the jet lag alone would just wipe you out.
It kills you.
Why do you think so many baseball players die young? It's they lose all that time flying.
The baseball versus football plotline that is sprinkled throughout this movie is very crazy. Like, what a stance to take in a movie.
What a stance to take in a movie based on your real life, apparently.
Like, baseball is better than football, and it should be America's pastime, and it's a shame that it isn't, and those football players are a bunch of drug-dealing addicts.
Well, but baseball is America's pastime. Like, baseball is America's game. They've already won. They're at the top. So you're kind of punching down to, like, be crapping on football.
In terms of viewership and money earned, apparently football's overtaken baseball in that regard. So.
Oh, wow.
So they do have... they're shamed.
Yeah, they lost it. But not in 2013. In 2013, they were still riding high.
Well, not according to this film, because they got to make a Christian baseball movie about how it's our game.
Yeah, they already made a Christian baseball movie. It's called Angels in the Outfield and stars Christopher Lloyd as an angel.
Yeah, it's called Hardball.
It's called When Will Our Family Be a Family Again? When the Angels Win the Pennant, loser. Never, kid. When are we going to do Angels in the Outfield on this show?
When the Angels win the pennant. God, such a dirty line. Is that his father saying it
that's
to
his,
him?
Yeah, that's his deadbeat dad saying it to him.
Jesus. What a dad. Dad like, of the year.
What a thing to say to your son. Dad, when were we going to be a real family again? When the Angels win the pennant, you loser. You know the thing that's impossible? Yeah, the Bambino curse or whatever the hell was on the Anaheim Angels at the time. They're never going to win.
Little beautiful JGL saying that to you, you heartless prick.
Yeah, like you might as well move to Pittsburgh, kid, if you're trying to win a pennant. Better chance over there with the Pirates.
Nice pull.
Thanks. I know lots about baseball. San Francisco Giants, that's a baseball team.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Pittsburgh Pirates, I'm shocked.
Well, they were my team when I was a kid. I loved the Pittsburgh Pirates when I was a kid. Because I like yellow and black. Yeah, because of Pirates in yellow and black.
And those stripes. They stripe well, yellow and black.
Even as an adult, I pick my favorite sports teams strictly based on colors and mascots. So, like, the Philadelphia Flyers are my favorite hockey team because Gritty is the greatest mascot ever invented. And the...
You might like peas a lot.
The Charlotte Hornets. I don't even know if they play in Charlotte anymore. That's my favorite basketball team because... Teal is a great color. Teal and purple? Are you kidding me? What a combo.
I could be lambasted by our fans, but I don't think the Charlotte Hornets exist anymore.
They don't. But the Hornets still exist. They just don't play in Charlotte anymore. I don't know where they play. Charlotte, home of Ric Flair, you know?
He's home there.
That's where he's from, yeah. Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, looks like the Charlotte Hornets do exist to this day.
Ho-ho, you're getting lambasted by yourself.
Yep.
Urine.
I need some more Nutramedics. Sorbo.Nutramedics.com.
Sorbo, help my brain. Give me Nutramedics. Hey, did
Chia seeds.
Eat them up. They're good for you. They're good for your smoothies. And guess what? They're going to get stuck in your bowels and give you diverticulitis. Isn't that fun?
Ah, oh, the good crack.
Who is that an impression of?
The Irish.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about the Irish in this movie, because everyone's Italian. Gabagoo, everybody!
The best Italian. New York Italian.
New York. Hey, I'm Italian here.
New York really is like the fifth character in this movie.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, is it ever mentioned other than when he, apropos of
9/11?
Nothing? Yeah, when he goes...
Ever hear of it?
I was at Ground Zero on 9/11, and the kids go, well, we were asking about Jesus, though. And he's like, I was at Ground Zero, and the government is lying to you, students. And the principal goes, you're fired. You can't say things like that.
I think that was between... JFK being shot and putting Jesus on trial.
Well,
it's crazy. This movie, man.
Like, the fact that you said that sentence, and it is 100% true, but this is a movie about baseball. Like, good luck reconciling all of that.
Yeah, but I applaud this movie for having the balls to really bring up God and to really talk about it and not just be a baseball movie. Unfortunately, it falls short in both, but it's great.
I don't know. I liked the baseball in it. I thought the baseball was fun.
The JFK of it all was pretty fun.
Oh, man. When they show those kids just like... pouring over his brains all over the back of that car, and they're just like, wow, this was a real man. It's easy to detach ourselves from the reality of the situation, that a man was assassinated live in front of the world, and now we get to watch it from all angles. Actually, just one angle, but either way.
Is there only one angle? I thought there was a double angle.
Well, I thought the Zapruder film was just one angle.
His cell phones must have been dead.
Yeah, that was the biggest problem. And people didn't think to take their cell phones out at the JFK assassination. They were too busy saluting and waving and all that when they should have been filming EMP. It. Yeah. Exactly.
Eat my pee. Gross.
EMP, eat my pee. Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
That's science talk, baby. And that's, we've learned that from this movie, from the science teacher, the fat science teacher in this movie. I can say that because A, I'm fat, and B, he calls himself the fat science teacher, so that's his name.
And he has glasses on, so he's asking for it.
And a bow tie. See the way he's dressed? Totally asking for it.
Just like the sock to the face he got.
Oh, one of the highlights of the movie, a bench-clearing baseball brawl where kids are just, high school kids are scuffling with each other, and this opposing coach takes the opportunity to sucker punch the bench coach on our team. Beautiful moment. Like, for no reason, just goes, you know what? F*** this guy. Just cracks him.
Well, he's an alpha. He sees a beta that he can punch, exactly. And he won't say boo about it because he's a little cuck boy, and he's right.
Yeah,
he gets away with assault.
Yeah, yeah, especially
in front of a cop.
The cop head coach goes, "Hey, what's this? One of your kids punched this guy in the face," and the coach just goes, "Hey, that's baseball for you. No, man, you punched him in the face. You're under arrest."
That is baseball for you, though.
Man, I don't know anything about baseball, but I do know that there's a famous clip of a very old baseball coach running out onto the field in the middle of a brawl and just getting body slammed into the dirt, and that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Because what are you doing, old man? Get out of here. Are you going to fight this guy 40 years your junior? Ridiculous.
He probably would. Maybe he's got really good fists.
Bro, he tried. He ate dirt. That's what he did.
Well, I think he could get up and do it again.
Look, God ain't no Mets fan. I'll tell you that much, all right?
Well, he's a Yankees fan. That's for sure.
I guess.
Yankees versus Mets. Cops versus Hollywood. Classic tale.
Right versus left. Soy boys... cucks versus real men. Yeah, it's just that's life for you. Also, God doesn't care about the Mets. God loves the Japanese baseball. He loves the Japanese baseball leagues and professional wrestling. Those are the two things. God wrestled in the WWE on behalf of Shawn Michaels. So don't even act like God's not a wrestling fan. It already happened. He proved his point.
Well, and the Japanese, from what I've read, play a lot of small ball. And God's way more into that. He's not into home runs. He's more into, like, bunting and, like, getting on base and true baseball.
He likes the meat and potatoes of baseball. He's not out there. He wasn't helping Mark McGwire hit dingers. Drugs were doing that. God was sitting back going, get back to fundamentals, guys. You got to get back to the fundamentals of baseball. Hitting and
pitching. Are you watching these Japanese? They're doing it right.
Are you watching Ichiro? He's doing it right up there. Oh, is that some Powder Blues Band I'm hearing?
Doing it right.
Yeah?
Yeah, God loves doing it right.
God loves the Powder Blues Band. You better believe that.
On the Wrong Side of Town.
That song's got some killer saxophones in it.
Tell me more.
Well, the main character's name in this movie is James Bonercore. He's a New York cop.
They say it differently.
No, they don't.
Throughout this movie.
They say James Bonercore. They go, hello, Sergeant Bonercore. And he goes, please call me Bonercore. Really hit the boner.
And then everybody laughs. It's a really good intro.
Yeah, it's great. For a Christian movie.
Yeah.
Bonercore has a famous brother named Paul Bonercore. He is a famous actor, even though he doesn't look like a famous actor. Like, to say that everyone's like, oh my god, Paul Bonercore, you're my favorite actor. You look just like Adrian Brody. It's, I guess. Adrian Brody's not that big of a star. He should be.
He looks like he's playing a Hollywood star in a play on off Broadway.
Yeah, he's someone that people have to tell you he's famous. You don't know that this guy's famous. They go, that guy, he's famous. He's my favorite actor. And you go, Paul, a guy, he didn't take a stage name. He went with Paul Bonercore. He stuck with that? That's on his SAG card? All right.
He's the one with the long tongue. Everyone talks about it.
Yeah, he got famous because he played Gene Simmons in a Kiss autobiography movie. In a biopic.
In the Long Tongue documentary.
Yeah, it's called The Longest Tongue, and it's a sequel to The Longest Yard, starring Adam Sandler and Tiny Tony Lister. Dead, rest in peace.
It pulls on your heartstring.
Yeah, it steps on your heart and makes you fart. That's what movies do. That's the power
good
of
movies.
Hollywood.
Films.
Exactly. So they're at the, yeah, people just know his brother. They're just like, people just know this guy. But the brother is like, something's missing from my life, man. You know, I'm Hollywood famous. I'm, you know, banging Emma Stone or whoever the hot actress was of 2013. And, you know, but just something's missing from my life. It's probably God. But I guess we'll find out.
I think you blew your O-ring out.
Yeah, I did intentionally. It was worth it.
Yeah, the Hollywood famous guy has so much money, so much life. He's got to be on Letterman and do a new movie.
Yeah. And like, oh, the Marines are calling. Okay, come speak to the troops over in Afghanistan. He goes, nah, I don't want to. I'm good. I'm fine.
He seems interested about it, like it's going to come up later in the movie, and then it just never does.
No, what are you talking about? It's the very last shot of the movie confirms that that happens. Not only does he go talk to the troops, he prays with the effing Marines over in Afghanistan. He prays that they can murder some innocent people and get fresh blood on their hands that day. This is not a political podcast.
I needed it in the third act, not as a poster at the end of the movie.
That's fair.
You know?
Well, Paul Bonercour is not the main character of this movie, though. Sergeant James Bonercour is the main character of this movie.
I never thought Bonercour when I was watching this movie once, and I should have.
I never thought I'd see a movie where they censor curse words, but here we are. In this movie, they censor curse words all the time. And it's, why write them then? You wrote the script, write it different. And like, the curse words they're censoring are hell and damn, which are softballs. We don't even censor those. And we're God's favorite podcast.
No, because it's in the Bible.
Yeah. You'll go to hell, God damn it, is what Jesus said all the time to people.
I like that they had the balls to say the words. I feel like this was PureFlix trying to keep them down. They're the ones who, you know, changed their film.
You're probably right about that. They forced them to, like, censor it before David would let it on their platform. And they were like, but you have movies that, there's all kinds of cursing in some of your movies. And they went, yeah, but not this one. This is a special one about baseball.
Well, PureFlix really had them by the balls because this had a $1.1 million budget.
Whoa.
And grossed $103,737.
Wow.
Worldwide.
Well, that's pretty good. Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. So they had to recoup the value, so PureFlix got the edits.
As they should, yeah. Hey, if you look, what PureFlix pitched them was, the movie you made wasn't a success, but we know how we can make it better, and that's by censoring the curse words, and in one instance, dubbing in someone going "dang" instead of "damn." So that's how we'll. And don't worry, we'll play that later, or we can play it now. Maybe I'll just play it now. It's great.
So, yeah, play it now.
Yeah, here it is.
Men make mistakes.
Fine, but that doesn't mean we got to listen to them or believe a darn word he's ever said.
That's right.
Darn.
Ever said.
That's right.
All that is.
Wait, I gotta hear darn again.
Believe it, darn word he's ever said.
That's right.
Darn. Good. Not even the same person
good.
Speaking that line. Like, just a different guy. Darn.
Good. I can't believe this wasn't a hit.
Me neither. I genuinely enjoyed this movie. I had a lot of fun watching it. Maybe I'm just in a good mood lately, but I've been loving a lot of stuff we've been watching lately. Maybe I'm just getting converted. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting saved.
No, this was legit a good film.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, like this could have easily been watchable on TBS.
Oh,
Saturday
yeah.
afternoon.
Yeah, you get
grilled
a little
cheese.
You watch a little baseball. You don't even realize all this God stuff's getting put in there. You're obsessed with the JFK assassination, so you got to find out more about that. And then you find a little baseball, and you get a little bit of God, and it's a little bit of everything. And then the Braves play
afterwards.
Well,
you see that they're serious about investigating through the JFK thing. So when they turn it to Jesus, you know they're going to take that even more serious and show some real good facts.
Oh, yeah. And bring in some key witnesses.
It's crazy how many witnesses he brings in.
It's insane. He has friends in high places all over the place. It's like, this guy's a forensic analyst for the FBI, and this guy is a scholar, and this guy's a cop, and this guy... It's like, bro, we get it. You're a hero. We understand. You have connections. Fine. None of these people are really proving your point, though, but okay.
This was Joe Biden's lover during 9/11.
Yeah, this man right here was Joe Biden's lover during 9/11. Well, he wasn't president or anything. I don't know. I guess he was probably in government at the time.
Senator.
I guess. Senator lover Joe Biden.
Yeah, but during 9/11.
Yeah, of course. James's wife has a miscarriage.
And what?
Then he loses his faith in God. And also,
when did this happen?
Like right at the start of the movie. She's pregnant and then she's not pregnant. Remember?
Was this a big plot part?
I mean, it ruined his faith in God. And also, we find out that, like, after she had a miscarriage, they let her hold the baby, which I'm like, is that a thing that they let people do? That seems... Okay, fine.
Well,
if that's protocol, fine. But, I don't know.
I mean, it sucks.
It sucks. Anyway, he loses his faith in God. He throws his crucifix down. He throws his Bible down. And he's just mad. He keeps looking at the Bible going, you lied to me. Is anyone even up there? You lied to me. Man.
And he, like, crushes his beads, his religious beads, to dust.
You mean, like, these religious beads?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my grandma's old crucifix thing. What are these called?
Ginobili's. No.
Ginobili's. I think you're right. What are these called? I should know.
You said it to me when you showed them to me.
Rosary. There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
I should know. I watched Kathy Najimy make them in Sister Act 1.
Yeah, for hours.
Yeah.
And, like, he is so thick. This man is thicker than the wall was thick.
He's thick. He's a thick boy. He does that fun trick where if you wear a really tight, like, white undershirt underneath your regular shirt, it's like a compression sleeve, and it sucks in your fat and your moobs, so, you know, people can't tell that you're as big as you are.
Yeah, he's wearing a girdle for most of this film, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's been sitting behind the desk a little too long, if you know what I'm saying. 20 years.
Girdle.
20 years, and he's forced into retirement. I guess. It's still not clear why he's forced into retirement. Like, the mission that went wrong because the chief put a different guy in the wrong position, and then that guy got killed. But that's not Boner Corps' fault. He was following the chief's orders. So, like, why is he getting forced into retirement? It seems like a setup to me.
Well, he got set up. I think it was a legit setup. He put in this soy boy Saul Gossman to be the lead detective on the case, and he screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
It looked like he was trying to sell a dime bag of coke or something.
Something. I don't know. But yeah, what I love about that moment where they force him to retire is that I guess that probably happened to the guy who wrote this movie, and he seems to think that it was a setup to force him to retire because that's how he portrays it in the movie based on his life, which is, like, crazy. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you see this movie one way, and then you see it through a whole different lens when it was somebody's real life.
Should we reveal who this movie is about?
Yes, get him.
Okay. So the writer of this movie is a man named Richard Romano, who is the older brother of Ray f***ing Romano.
Yeah.
Star of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, and apparently Raymond is a soy boy who loves the New York Mets, Boo Mets.
Boo Mets.
And then the older brother is this super powerful big man that was a cop that wanted to play baseball his whole life.
Yeah, and this is all based on, like, this was written 5 years after Ray Romano made $200 million on Everybody Loves Raymond, and his younger brother was a law teacher at a high school in BF Nowhere. It's such a bizarre movie once you know that it's about the Romano family. Ray Romano is not in it, but his spirit is in it. His picture's at the end, but he's not in it physically, which is a shame. Do you think they tried to get him?
Oh, yeah, they tried. Well, they got his money, that's for sure.
Oh, damn right. You got to buy new baseball uniforms. Got to get your brother's money.
I think when Ray Romano saw the casting for his brother, he probably laughed a lot.
Well, yeah. Well, I read that the guy who plays Ray Romano in this movie is like a great impressionist, is what they said. But they made a conscious choice to have him not do a Ray Romano impression in this movie. Like, that's what it says in the trivia for this movie. But I just love the idea of everyone else just being themselves, and then this skinny beanpole of a guy coming in being like, "Oh, what's going on? Hi, you coaching? I got your job as a baseball coach." Just like, who is this clown?
Well, he gets him a job as a baseball coach, so that moves the plot along.
I don't want to go talk to the Marines over in Afghanistan.
Hachi Machi. Yeah. That's Ray Romano for you.
Oh my god, it's Ray Romano. It's Ray Romano with the batting cages. You're my favorite. Oh, don't even worry. I'll sign this baseball. What's your name?
Yeah, instead of Romano, they go with Boner Core.
Yeah. Oh, it's call me Ray Boner Core. And you're Frankenstein Boner Core.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Ray Romano's worth 200 mil today.
Mm-hmm.
He's
still got sneakers.
He's still got sneakers. Yeah. One thing I love about this movie is just how lazy... there's just elements of it that are lazy. So when the scene where it's like, oh, the Marines... So Ray Romano, in quotes, Paul Bonercore, is getting makeup done to be on a show, and his agent comes in and is like, hey, Boner Corps, we got the troops, blah, blah, blah. I told them you're busy. You can't talk to the troops. Even though the character he's talking to is named Paul Boner Corps, and he's Paul Boner Corps' agent, in the credits, that guy is listed as Ray Romano's agent. Like, they just, whoops. he's not playing Boner Corps. He's playing Ray Romano's agent, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very weird, lazy thing to do.
Yeah, it makes sense thematically, though.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. So, now that you know that this movie is about Ray Romano's older brother, now you can enjoy the rest of this talk.
Yeah, now you can watch this movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, Paul gets his brother a job, like Ray Romano gets his brother... Brad Garrett a job at a high school coaching baseball and teaching law or whatever, criminal science.
There is a little scene where Paul, the main Boner Corps, I don't know his first name,
James Sergeant.
Yeah, Sergeant. Mm. Is watching TV and his family is trying to get him to go to church. Did you see what was on the TV?
I heard, and it sounded like it was baseball, but what was actually on the TV? Was it Peter Ramus?
No. Something very near and dear to our hearts on this podcast.
Oh, my God.
It was a Papa John commercial.
Oh, my God. We live in a simulation. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Like, there was two pizzas, and it's on an angle. Like, it's hard to see the whole screen.
But you got it.
And it looked like Papa John's colors, and then wouldn't you know it, Mr. PJ Man himself comes on the screen and is probably talking about 2013 good stuff.
Yeah, and he goes, I hope my reign as Pizza Lord will never end. No one will ever find out I secretly say the N-word behind closed doors. No one will ever find that out. I'm going to live
I will
forever.
Never be a racist.
I will never be found out as a racist, that's for sure.
By Papa John.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Thank you, Papa. We love you. Oh, my God. That's so amazing. Now I wish I would have got Papa John's this week. I feel like a horse's anus. A horse's Peter Ramus.
I couldn't believe I caught it.
Yeah, good catch, man. Really good catch. You're the MVP of this episode for that one.
I'm glad I could be.
I love that the principal, when she's like telling Sergeant Bonercore about his job, she's like, look, if you get stuck on any lessons, just tell the kids some like horrible police stories about, you know, drug addicts overdosing or babies getting shot in the face or something cool, you know, something that's going to grab their attention.
this principal at a Catholic college doesn't have too many morals or scruples other than teaching Jesus Christ.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, make sure you teach about Jesus Christ. If you're on the football team, you're untouchable. If you're on the baseball team, then you can lick the bottom of my shoes. That's as much as I care about you. And that's it. Those are her tenets. Oh, and love Jesus.
Football rules, baseball drools, get over it and go teach some American justice.
Yeah, go teach American justice. Go to your first baseball practice wearing a shirt that says NARC on it in big letters. That'll endear you to the kids.
They love it. They already love it.
I mean, as soon as I saw that shirt, I was like, I already love it. I want a NARC shirt. That's great.
NARC is very cool. I think it's a very funny joke.
Mm-hmm.
The kids love him very quickly in this. When he meets his class, they're peeing on him pretty hard.
Oh yeah, first of all, he writes down his name as Sergeant James Bonercore, and one of the kids goes, "We don't have to call you Sergeant, do we? Like, you're not a sergeant, you're a teacher now. So maybe drop that part of your name. It's not like getting a PhD. Once you're done from that job, you're no longer referred to as a sergeant. I don't think that would be stupid, so I don't know. It just seems silly that he does it.
He did it for 20 years. You take that name to the grave.
You know what? We don't know if he wasn't a sergeant for 20 years. He was a sergeant.
Well, he made his way up, but that's a part of being a sergeant is the journey.
That's true, but he never became chief, so.
Yeah, that's stupid. He sucks. Yeah. And they wanted him out, like, super bad because people kept dying on his freaking watch.
Yeah, one guy died because of his own stupidity. Yeah.
Well, that was only one day. Who knows how many days that happened in a row?
For the last year, you have lost 365 great police officers.
The best.
Or as they refer to themselves in this movie, policemans. Oh, you're a policeman.
Yeah, 300.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what 300 was about.
I love that at the first practice, one of the kids is like, "Hey, coach, how many kids are going to be on the team? The last coach said 15, but there's 16 of us trying out." And then Bonercore looks off into the distance and goes, "My team's going to have 16. You go, "Okay, well, actually, yeah, it's going to have 17, it turns out, but fine. Go, what an inspiring thing."
Yeah, this 40-year-old Samoan comes up to him and wonders about getting on the team. He's so excited that he's going to pick 16, and apparently the other coach was just gonna pick 15 of the 16.
He was gonna cut one kid.
Just go, yeah, the Samoan.
"You, Steven, the Samoan, you're cut, buddy. You're out of here. No, duh. You can barely play right field."
So we're introduced to this large Samoan kid.
Yeah.
And you think for sure, like 100%, this is gonna be your big hitter. This is going to be
your big poppy.
An arc of achievement.
Right. He starts off, they don't see, like, the old coach didn't see the potential in this kid, but Bonercore sees that this kid's a dinger machine.
Yeah, he should be a dinger machine.
Yeah.
But he is not. He just sucks at baseball.
He really does. And there's, like, a moment where he has, like, I guess you could say redemption in a game. He, like, costs the team 6 runs in an inning and then gets on base, and then another kid hits a home run, so he scores through no work of his own. Gets a run.
He gets beaned. Gets on base.
Yo, that's right.
And then beaned. The next person hits a home run, and that's his redemption. And that's the first game they play, and then he doesn't play again. He never gets up to bat. He never hits a dinger.
He never gets better. There's never any indication that he does anything for the team. All we know about this kid is that he sucks so much he almost lost their team the first game of the season. And then the coach went, "Well, that's all you're going to play, I guess. TTFY.
He mentions to multiple people that the kid sucks and that was probably going to be his only time to
the
play.
Kid says that. He's like, "Oh, this is probably my only chance to play baseball." And they go, "Yeah, why don't you work on some fundamentals? Go play in the Japanese leagues.
Or throw your weight behind some frickin' dingers, bud."
Yeah. God, bud. Take these performance-enhancing drugs, a.k.a. speed. hit some dings.
Well, he's not a football, so.
Nah, he's not a football. That's true. So, yeah, criminal justice class is what Old Boner Corps is teaching. First day, one of the kids, Yik Yoon from Degrassi, goes, hey, can we do an investigation on JFK? I'm obsessed with JFK. And
Yeah, sure.
Boner Corps goes, yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing.
Great. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Fine, I'll show you the Zapruder film. Fine, go for it, kids. I love that he's talking about circumstantial evidence, which is just like, what time of day was it? How were they behaving? Like, just stuff that is completely up to interpretation or completely irrelevant to the situation. But then he says, you know, the death penalty has been handed down many times based on circumstantial evidence. And I go, then review the death penalty. Like, you shouldn't, on a whim, you shouldn't get the death penalty because the wind was blowing a certain direction that day. Like, you need harder evidence to put someone to death, I think.
No, he puts that on a pedestal as a shining achievement of the American justice system that we can kill people based on circumstantial evidence. Yeah, he loves it.
Like, we can kill people based on the feelings of an observant. Like, that's what he's saying. That he's saying, like, hey, if you think that guy did it, then we'll put him to death for you. That's all you need. If you see a kid wearing a hoodie, we'll put that kid to death. It's totally fine.
Well, this is the third lesson of the movie. The first one is baseball rules.
Yeah.
Second one is football rules. And the third one is circumstantial evidence for the death penalty. It's awesome.
Man, it's the best. I'm throwing up two shakas. That's how awesome it is.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah.
Ray Romano's brother loves it.
Never forget, this is Ray Romano's brother, James Boner Corps, we're talking about.
Loves the death penalty.
I love that during the Samoan guys, like, when the Samoan guy's having his moment and he's, like, up to bat, the coach is, like, praying, like, please, God, please let something good happen. Please let something good happen. And then that kid gets beaned by a pitch. He goes, you've answered my prayers, God. That kid took a fastball to the jaw. Yeah. Thank you, God.
I was like, this guy's going to hit this ball into next week. And then he just gets beaned.
Just takes it. Doink. And they go, that's all you're good for.
You're never playing again, kid.
So then this movie, like, does dive into the JFK, like, assassination. Yeah. Like, in earnest. Really talks about it for a little while. It becomes like a documentary for 10 minutes. Very weird.
They don't shy away from it whatsoever. It's not just a stupid montage. They throw some facts and some interesting side bits to the investigation.
Oh, yeah. And then we get this little tease as to what the rest of the movie is going to be about. How can we investigate something that happened so long ago? And I went, they're going to talk about Jesus at some point.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Some point. Yeah. You still got to go into 9/11 and a bunch of other stuff first.
All of Boner Corps' friends who died because the government lied to them. You know, all that classic stuff. But he knew better. He wore a mask. He knew better. He said, I wore a mask, so I didn't die. I was there. I was a first responder on 9/11. Damn, dog.
We did kind of gloss over how Boner Corps opens the box of new uniforms.
Yeah? What about it?
Okay, so the box is put down and everybody's, oh, what's happening? Oh, we're about to play our first game. What could possibly happen? And then he takes the box and he punches through it.
Just punches a jersey right out of it.
Yeah, punches. And I was like, why open a box any differently than that from now on? Why not punch through our problems?
Don't let that tape get in your way. You punch right through to the soft jersey core of that box.
Like, this Mr. Boner Corps is intense. The intensity he's laying down on these kids is forthright.
Oh, yeah. And he's unironically saying things like, we sing the national anthem for your brother in Afghanistan and all those brave soldiers fighting for our country.
Facts.
Facts. What is Richard Romano about? Standing for the flag, saluting our troops, singing the national anthem with pride in your friggin' heart, and also being the younger brother or older brother of Ray Romano.
Deborah!
Oh, Deborah! We can't even take credit for this impersonation because it's our friend Warren's impersonation of Ray Romano that we're just stealing and using in the show. So, shout out to Warren, wherever you are. Whatever weeb thing you're doing now.
What wind has taken you forthward?
Ooh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. The football coach, Mr. Boner Core, catches the football coach selling kids speed, which is pretty funny.
Like, yeah, it's cool.
That football coach has beautiful eyes and a horrible mole on his face. 2 weeks in a row, I got to look at gross moles. Thanks, movies.
Moles are cool now. You got to accept it, man.
Cut them out.
You can't just Full House them.
They're on one side of your face. Film them from the other side. I said it last week. I'll say it again.
No, you got to accentuate the beauty.
That's true.
Of the mole.
Don't be ashamed of yourself. Body positivity. You know, love yourself. All that stuff. Give those kids drugs. Give them drugs, all right?
Well, it's just Adderall without a prescription. It's just speed.
I did like that. And I love that he's saying that to the principal, and the principal goes, yeah, we don't care.
Eh.
I don't care. I don't care. Let the coach give the kids speed. It's going to ruin the kids' lives if you bring it up.
Football rules. Don't ruin football.
Mm-hmm. But Mr. Boner Core goes, you know what? I'm calling the cops. I'm a cop first. I'm Sergeant James Boner Core. You don't think I'm gonna pass up the opportunity to get this black football coach arrested? Of course I'm gonna do that first day. And he does.
Yeah, he's Mr. Wheat.
Yeah, the Wheat Man.
I thought he wasn't gonna call the cops or make a gruff about it because every roadblock he comes into, they're like, "Nah,
yeah,
just let them do speed. It's good for their grades.
Kids love speed. They love it.
Yeah. Well, their party.
It really did feel like that the football coach was gonna be a bigger antagonist for him throughout the movie. But like 30 minutes in, he's arrested and gone. They're just like, "Don't even worry about that guy anymore.
Nah.
You'll never see him again. His life is ruined."
Yeah, football got defeated that day. It's over. That's where we're landing. Baseball rules, football rules.
Football rules, baseball rules. The principal at one point, I wrote this down because I love when people misspeak in movies and then they leave it in for no reason when you can just do another take. The principal goes, this school is not interested in this negative publicity. I go, just get her to say publicity again. She said publicity. Just do another
publicity.
Take. Publicity.
Publicity does sound right, though.
It doesn't sound wrong, and we don't have to listen to a darn word he said anymore.
No, not a darn word.
Nah. So all the kids in the law class are having, like, a crisis where they're like, oh my god, you know, like, the football coach told us that drugs are bad, but he was lying about that. Is he lying about Jesus being real as well? They go, well, that's a pretty big leap in logic, but... I don't know. I have no idea.
Let's investigate it.
Oh my god. Okay, I have a clip prepared for that because it is maybe the best moment of this movie, I think. So one of the kids, the kid who loves JFK, is like, "Hey, if we can investigate things in the past to find out if they're real, why don't we investigate if Jesus was real?" And then Mr. Boner Core hits us with this.
Okay. We'll do an investigation. An investigation. The homicide of Jesus Christ.
It's weird that they left this in. It's a weird leave-in.
It's a weird leave-in, but I do love that they went, you know what, let's just go full CSI Miami on it.
Yeah. And keep in mind, this is after they've already done a very in-depth scene about the mayor and the governor lying about dust in the air after 9/11. And brutal insight into the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
Two different scenes that have already happened in this movie.
And they go,
now they're gonna delve deep into the homicide of Jesus Christ.
An investigation into the homicide of Jesus Christ.
This movie has nuts.
Oh, big, big nuts, you know?
And this, and all these investigations are interspersed with montages of them playing baseball.
Yeah, of winning and sometimes losing. It really is kind of indifferent to what's going on with the baseball.
Well, you can't win them all.
No, and you can't win the last one either. The principal informs the principal informs Sergeant Coach Bonercore that they will not be offering him a contract next year. And he goes, "Fine, I'm going to quit the school then." And he goes, "Well, finish out the year." And he goes, "Well, why would I? You just told me there's no future here. I'm out of here." Like, F you. Yeah. How's that sound?
Ride these. And he gives them the fingers.
Wow, how many of them?
Two.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Fingers.
Two holes, two fingers.
That's right. The pinky and the thumb. And you hold them up. That's a shocker, brah, is what he says to her.
Yeah.
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 So.
Pinky.
Yeah, the pinky and
that's
the thumb.
Hard to use, though, you know? Shaka. It doesn't have much
it's weak.
Going on.
Yeah, it's a weak
yeah,
little...
it's weak.
It's useless.
It's weak water.
Yeah. So their rivals, I guess, are a team called the Bombers. It's
yeah,
like...
9-11. Another 9-11.
Yeah, that's...
Innuendo.
We're going up against the... The Eden Valley Taliban. That's who we're going up against in this next game. You, when you look out on the field, those players, those high school students your age who look just like you, those kids are the Taliban. I want you to think of them as each one of them is Osama bin Laden, and it's your job to take his head off with the dingers you hit for America. This is not a political podcast.
Well, the high school put up a vote for their new mascot, and some... Some yoinker
yep.
entered the Taliban.
Yep. 12 years after the fact, and they went, you know what? Maybe now we've healed enough that we can name our sports team after the Taliban. Maybe we've come far enough.
Take it back.
Yeah. If this high school team can't be called the Taliban, then the terrorists win, all right? And we can't have that.
We can't have that.
No. But they get crushed by the Taliban. They get absolutely swept by the Taliban.
They have no choice.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. This is the game.
Well, don't they forfeit?
Yes. Yeah. Because this is the game where the pitcher gets hit by a pitch when he's like batting, charges the mound. All the players rush on the field, and the head coach of the opposing team sucker punches their bench coach for no reason. Nobody else gets punched. He does it for fun. He does it because he wants to punch this guy. It's the only explanation I can come up with. This guy has done nothing, literally nothing, the whole game. He just runs out onto the field to support his team and takes a friggin', you know... whatever.
Well, this guy was ordered by the court to teach this high school baseball team.
Yeah.
And he was just high on crank during this high school baseball game and wanted to punch a man that was a beta.
Yeah, it turns out the whole team had laid out a jihad on this coach, and they were like, "We're Team Taliban. We got a jihad on this coach. We're going to punch him in the face first chance I get."
They didn't really know what a jihad was, but, like, they loved the sound of it.
It's a
cool
sound.
So they punched a man in the face.
Yeah. It's like if you... It sounds like someone mispronouncing Derek Jeter's name.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of a crusade in its own right.
Truly. High school baseball is a crusade in its own right.
Yeah, 9-11.
My students want me to investigate whether Jesus was the son of God or not. No, they don't. They want you to investigate his murder. What are you talking about? That's not what this investigation is.
Well, they want to know if Jesus was real and the son of God.
How am I supposed to investigate the murder of Jesus Christ if I'm not even sure he existed? Well, that's, again, the point of the investigation, to prove to see if he existed or not.
And they weren't even there, so it's mute.
Oh, for sure it is. Yeah. But luckily, you can just call in some of your buddies to say things like, "A solar eclipse couldn't last 3 hours. That's impossible." Did you catch when that guy said, like, "Can a solar eclipse last 3 hours?" And the witness goes, "No, that's impossible." And in the background, somebody from way in the back goes, "So's God." Like for
and I started squeaking there.
Just a little fart knocker in the back. Just, "So's God."
That was a good leave-in.
Thanks. It was a good leave-in. I don't know why I said thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I don't know. Seek out the truth, says Sergeant Boner Corps.
Mm. Yeah. Well, a series of his friends and family and Ray Romano are coming in to be witnesses on the stand, and they prove that Jesus was real.
Yep.
He was crucified, and he was also magic.
And also, like, I love that they... One of the things they're investigating is whether or not blood and water can come out of you at the same time.
Like, and they proved.
I guess. Like, I love that the witness he brings in is like, only within the last 20 years have we investigated how people die from crucifixions. And I go, well, that can't be true. Like, what do you, why in 1996 did people get interested in that? What difference does that make? And then her response is, people die because their heart explodes, and then blood and water come out of you at the same time. You go,
yeah.
What are you talking about? How do those
it's
things
been
connect?
Proven.
How do those things connect? Why does your heart explode and then blood and water come out of you at the same time? How does that happen?
No circulation anymore.
But where's the water coming from?
Your heart.
No, that's where the blood is.
That's where blood and water is.
God.
And it explodes.
Just your heart.
This movie's a diamond in the rough.
All right. It's a diamond in the rough. God. So I guess they don't ever really come to a conclusion on this Jesus investigation. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of dropped at a certain point.
There's no ruling. The state championships are coming up.
Yeah, we got to get ready to play Jay Moore in the small town Taliban. Yeah.
Crusaders versus Taliban. It's like the start of the end game after in the Mighty Ducks. It's very ominous, and there's the American music going on, but it's dark and weird.
Yeah, Team Trinidad and Tobago are there dancing and playing steel drums, and it's a real...
But
it's
they're
a
silenced and muted.
Of course, as they should be. It's time for the national anthem. There's no steel drums in the national anthem.
Yet,
yeah, as far as I'm concerned. Once this small town team's jihad takes a hold, there'll be all kinds of steel drums in the national anthem.
Do you think Joe Biden could unite a nation by putting steel drums in the national anthem?
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that Americans are known for, it's being able to roll with change to their stars and stripes and their symbols. They love that.
Yeah.
They love when you try to mess with the things that they hold dear to their hearts.
They want change and to wear dreads without,
without being called out for appropriation, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
also, anyone can wear dreads, come on. That's ridiculous to say that only Jamaicans or whatever can wear it. Why can't anyone wear dreads? Why can't Jeremy Lin wear dreads is what I'm saying. Let Jeremy Lin wear his dreads. Stop treating him like he's a pariah for that.
I don't want him to wear dreads.
I do. It looked good. Now,
okay.
It looked.
I never saw it.
It was a look. It was definitely a look.
Look good.
The Taliban featuring Coach Jay Moore. The guy looks exactly like Jay Moore and loves chaw like Jay Moore, and is just spitting big gobs of chaw. But then it's like he's got sunflower seeds in his mouth. So why is he spitting out chaw?
It's spit. It's dirty spit.
Ugh. Yeah, it's spit. Yeah, excuse me. It's my spit.
The amount of spit in baseball is absolutely ridiculous. Chew has been banned for like 20 years, and people are still holding on to spitting with seeds and gum.
They love it. God, they love spitting. It's one of the... You want to talk about fundamentals? Spitting a big gobber, that's a fundamental.
It's not, though. It doesn't have anything to do with baseball.
Yes, it does. If the better you spit, the better you hit. That's the tag for baseball.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right.
I got it.
So then they lose.
Yeah, you're going to hustle.
Yeah. Yay. I need you to run deep into center field. Oh, crap. You hit it short in center field. Oh, we lost the game because of that. Oh, crap.
I feel like we've done a disservice by not mentioning the just overacting that Mr. Bonacore does in these kids' faces. It's lovely. It's so good.
I do have a real soft spot for grown adult tough guy men, or men who think that they're tough guys, just thick, intimidating children. Like, yeah, really seriously trying to intimidate a child. I think that's very funny. So it's all over this movie.
Yeah, you can really feel the stage in his timber.
He's projecting to the back.
Yeah, he really is, right into their face. I'm sure that was a treat for them on set.
Yeah, oh, I bet his breath smelled amazing on set. I bet it smells so nice. Didn't smell like craft
cigarettes
at all.
Cigarettes and piss.
Boy, urine.
Urine.
So they lose, and then they pray, and they're like, Coach Bonercore, come pray with us. Although I will say, I do like at the end of the movie that all the kids start calling him Sergeant. I don't know why. I mean, it's silly, but I do like that they all just start going, Sergeant, are you going to pray with us? Sergeant, blah, blah, blah. Sergeant this, Sergeant that. And it's like, oh, the kids like him and respect him, even though they didn't at first.
Well, it's better than Bonercore, that's for sure. And I think they just couldn't say his last name anymore, so they just switched it to Sergeant. I don't know if it was intentionally an arc thing.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't know. It feels like a real old Captain My Captain moment.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. But whether it was intentional or not is
right,
what I'm saying.
Completely unintentional. Yeah. The guy, Rick Romano, wrote that in and was like, that's pretty good. That's good enough. And then people went, that's a real old Captain My Captain moment. And he went, what is that?
What's yeah.
It? He said, yeah, I am the captain now, right? Yeah, you know.
Uh-huh. What's that movie?
Captain Sully? Captain?
Yeah,
I'm Captain Corelli's mandolin. You know it.
I'm just going to hit a dinger.
Hit a quick dinger.
And then we can finish out this movie.
In honor of this movie, I think you should hit a dinger live on air. Can you put us up to your... Can you turn your TV up so we can hear the dinger when you hit it? Is that possible?
No.
Are you kidding me?
He just threw to first, so he didn't even pitch to me.
Well, turn the TV up so we can hear it.
I can't.
What do you mean?
Like, it's not... Oh, my God, I think I just hit a dinger. Oh, no, it was a double.
Ah,
I hit a double like an idiot.
That's not a dinger.
All right, well, I failed.
Yep, way to go, buddy. Just like this team, you failed.
They truly fail at the end. There's no dinger moment. Nobody strikes anybody out. They just lose and suck.
And then the end credits start, and we see that everyone in this movie is based on a real person, because they show everyone's the character and then the real person with them, and you go, oh, all of this junk was real?
What?
You don't have to do this because you said it was based on true events. Like, it's okay. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to show your work at the end. It's okay. We trust you.
Well, this movie at its heart is about the investigation, so they're just providing proof before they get investigated.
They're getting ahead of the investigation.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what they put before the credits. We are getting ahead of the investigation.
Me, Richard Bonercore.
Ray Romano can't sue.
Oh, I wish I could sue. I wish I could sue the Taliban.
Can you believe this is about Ray Romano's life?
Especially at the end when it says Ray Romano went on to pray with the Marines in Afghanistan, and I go, did he? I better look that up. I didn't even investigate that.
Yeah, you got to look up your own facts.
Did Ray Romano?
Because if you take this at face value, you didn't even watch this movie.
Did Ray Romano pray with Marines? Let's see.
What if all that comes on the screen is no?
It doesn't look like he... I can't find anything to saying that he prayed with Marines. So that kind of feels like, you know, what's it called? Slander, that they put it in the movie, that he prayed with a bunch of Marines at the end. That seems slanderous.
It's definitely full-on slander.
Yeah, well, I guess that's still
my slander.
Also, one of the people, they only give the last name of one of the people that is real. Like, so obviously they go like, oh, Bonercore, this jacked cop, is based on, you know, this scrawny little dingus, Richard Romano. His scrawny dingus brother in the movie is based on
Dick Romano.
Yeah, is based on big slab of meat, Ray Romano. And then, like, how hilarious is that? That when the family saw the movie, they're like, why did you cast your character as this, like, buff, cool dude and your brother as this friggin' like DJ Qualls looking loser. It's the way it goes.
They should have got Fabio to play Ray Romano.
They should have got Fabio to play the main guy, Paul Bonercore, James Bonercore.
Well, perfect accent.
Of course. During the end credits, so they show, like, okay, Ray Romano, Richard Romano, okay, great. And then, like, the fat science teacher is also, they give that guy's real name or whatever. But then one of the last people they give, and I'm not going to say his name because he is a real person. I'll say his first name is Alec. That's all I'll say about it. His first name is Alec. And I
Trebek.
They say that they give you a little, like, hey, this is what this person went on to do after this made-up thing that happened. And his thing is that he went on to do something in, like, in a state, in a northern state. You know, I'm being vague to protect his identity. But anyway, I Googled his name and the state that he was in, and I found his salary for 2016. I found out how much money he made in 2016. That's something.
That's pretty cruel.
You can just go to governmentsalaries.com and look up how much money this guy made in 2016 as a civil servant. So I'll tell you off air, but it's a lot less than I thought it would be. I was, for a government job, you could do better, pal. You deserve to do better.
You deserve better, pal.
You do.
Alec, we're coming for you.
Hey, Alec, we're coming for you. What did you think of The Investigator?
I loved it. I feel like this was like the last dance of baseball films.
I don't disagree. It was certainly the last dance of baseball films.
What was that football movie that we absolutely love and that I've watched 100 times?
Any Given Sunday.
Any Given Sunday. I'd put this up with Any Given Sunday as far as Christian sports films.
Me too, you bullheaded moron. I would put it right up there.
This is top three, at least, of movies we watched, and enjoyment out of one of them.
Yeah, well,
I thought they swung for the fences.
Tony, I don't drink beer. No, I suppose you don't. Beer. How's that? There's a little taste of Any Given Sunday for you.
Beer.
Cameron Diaz acting the hell out of that scene.
Oh, well, she loves beer.
She loves beer.
What do you think of this movie?
I loved it. As soon as it started, I went, I already love it.
It tackles a lot.
I mean, I love that they just are openly being like, the JFK thing is a conspiracy, and don't trust the government, and also love Jesus Christ, and find your own truths, and don't believe what professionals tell you, seek out and do your own research, and find out your own truth about the matter, because truth is subjective to everyone, and whatever you believe is the truth, regardless of if it's actually the truth or not. That's the message of this movie.
Textbooks are bull crap.
Textbooks are bull crap. Yeah. Anything else? Bonercore.
Yeah, cool name.
Yeah, we love you, Bonercore.
We love you, Bonercore.
We love you, Bonercore.
Core.
Pure Boys Pod.
All right, can I hit dingers now?
Yeah, hit those dingers. Pure good luck. You failed on live on air, so good luck to you.
I know. I hit a Pure good Boys Podcast. Shot out to right field.
He didn't.
It was good.
Nah. Couldn't have been. Pure Boys
Pod. Well, it was an extra base hit. It was a double, Pod. But it wasn't enough.
Well, was it the go-ahead run? Then who cares? Pure Boys
Podcast. Yeah, I need to score a run for this challenge.